in general. That woodsman wasn't the sweet, funny guy he seemed online. How the heck could he be Trip? No morals. Lack of empathy hidden under a smarmy, albeit handsome face. Trip was a non-homicidal version of Ted Bundy. He was leaning against the bar alone, waiting for Ricky Tacchini to notice him and take his order. With a deep breath, she tapped his shoulder. He turned her way, his gaze traveling over her, and a lazy smile stretched over his lips, revealing perfectly capped teeth.
Mary, you need something?
Yes, I felt like I owed you a face-to-face explanation.
That's sweet.
He leered at her, an expression that made her palm itch to smack him.
I like that you got dressed up to do it. That dress makes your rack look hot.
Thanks. Why did I think this guy deserved human decency? He really is a pig. Anyway, I know we said a lot of things the last couple weeks, but you get why this, she pointed to him and then her, isn't going to work.
We won't?
No. Even if you hadn't put hands on Noelle, we aren't interested in the same things. Trip lost his smile, his eyebrows dropping over his eyes in a scowl. In fact, it's pretty dishonest to click long-term relationship when I doubt those are your intentions with all of this. Trip straightened up and crossed his arms over his chest.
First of all, I didn't put hands on her like I hit her or something. I just held her arm so we could talk.
Doesn't make it better.
And second, I have no idea what you're talking about. I haven't talked to you in months. You've got the wrong guy, babe.
You don't like woodworking? Trip snorted.
What the fuck, am I 80?
He chortled at his own joke, and Mary stood there, frozen. What can I get you, Trip? Ricky glanced her way, her eyes silently asking what she was doing with Trip. Even the women who slept with Trip knew what a jerk he was. But after his treatment of Noelle, most women in Mistletoe wouldn't touch him with a 10-foot pole. But she'd thought he was woodsman. Have a good night, she murmured, turning away. She weaved back through the people and took her seat again. It wasn't him? Noelle asked, pushing a creamy shot toward her. Nope.
Thank the Lord, Sally said.
So we're still looking for a woodsman in a blue shirt. Holly rubbed her hands together. Mary knocked back the shot, the sweet liquor streaming down her throat. We are. Do we know anything else about him? Eye color? Hair? No. I only know details about his personality, his past, his likes and dislikes. I don't know how I could have even entertained the thought he was Trip. The woodsman is sweet, intelligent, funny. Huh. Tara was staring at something over Mary's shoulder. Clark just walked in. Her pulse kicked up speed. Is he? I can't tell if his shirt is blue because he's got his jacket on. Mary wiped her damp palms on her skirt as she twisted around, catching Clark's slack-jawed expression. His work jacket was zipped all the way up without a hint of blue in sight. But this couldn't be a coincidence. Clark never went out, especially to the bar. So it had to be a specific reason he'd come out tonight. Like meeting someone special. It was him. Clark was the woodsman. Every fantasy she'd had about this moment was about to come true. Except his expression wasn't right. He looked hurt. Clark's gaze scanned to the table and came back to rest on her, his mouth set in a grim line. He took a step toward her and immediately spun around, heading back through the exit. Mary sat stunned, like someone had thrown an icy snowball right in her chest, and the breath was knocked out of her. Tears stung her gaze, and she slowly turned away from the door, her skin rippling with the power of her humiliation, like at any moment she could come out of it completely.
Guess he didn't like what he saw, huh?
Seriously? Who does that? Sally said. Noelle passed her another shot, brown eyes burning. Fuck that prick.
Mary saw her brother and his friends coming back to the table and grabbed Noelle's hand.
Do me a favor. Don't tell my brother it was Clark, okay?
Noelle looked like she wanted to protest, but she nodded.
I won't. Or Pike.
Mary waited for Sally to agree.
Or Anthony.
We won't tell them, but he deserves his ass kicked.
Noelle grumbled. Tara shoved a heart pin into the voodoo peen.
I want one of these for Clark now. He's a douche.
Only Holly remained silent, watching her sadly, and Mary kicked back another shot.
What did we miss?
Nick asked, as he sat back down with the guys at the next table, setting a frosty pitcher of beer and glasses in the center.
Your sister got stood up,
Tara volunteered.
Guys, Mary mumbled, don't.
Nick moved his chair next to her, watching her with deep brown eyes.
Are you okay, Mare?
I'll be fine.
You don't have to make a big deal about it. It was one internet date. He probably wasn't my bag anyway. Mary swallowed back the lump in her throat and stole Sally's shot.
But I will require more alcohol.
They all put on a happy face, drawing her into their conversations and out of her own head. She couldn't have asked for better people in her life. Even Pike and Anthony, who usually teased her mercilessly, were going out of their way to make her smile. But after 20 minutes, it still wasn't working, and not just because she was hurt. No, she wanted to smack Clark Griffin clear into next week. Mary replayed the moment he'd walked in from the second he walked out, through her head, trying to figure out why he'd been upset. What the hell did she do to deserve that? Even as Mary and Clark, she thought they were at least friendly.
You know, I'm going to go to the bathroom. Want me to come?
Holly asked.
No, I'm good. This isn't prom.
It's a bar. I just have to pee.
Be right back.
She weaved through the multiplying bodies and pushed the swinging bathroom door open with a sob, trying to keep a brave face in place physically hurt. And as she sat down in the first of two stalls, Mary shook with every tear. With trembling hands, she pulled out her phone, tapping on the Meet Me app. There were no new messages, just the last one Clark sent before their date. I can't wait to see you.
Bullshit,
she sniffled, hitting the reply button with her thumb.
Woodsman 27.
I thought I knew who you were, but clearly I was wrong. No wonder I have feelings for you. For Clark. You're one and the same and just my type. A big freaking jerk that would walk away from a waiting woman instead of being honest about your lack of interest. You could have come over and sat down. At least had a drink and let me down easy. I treated the biggest asshole in the whole town with more respect than you showed me. You're a coward. And I'm sorry I wasted even a moment on you. Don't bother responding. I'm blocking you after I hit send. Middle finger emoji. Naughty girl 25.
Mary hit send and did exactly what she promised and blocked his ass.
She dumped her phone back into her purse and washed her hands before leaving the bathroom, hoping her friends wouldn't notice she'd been crying.
God, she wanted to go home.
But one of them would have to drive her home, and all of them had been watching her with sympathy, as if waiting for her to have a major meltdown. She didn't want anger or pity. When she exited, she ran smack into Ryan.
Mary, hey!
You okay? Lovely?
Your eyes are red and puffy.
I'm fine,
she muttered, wiping her wet cheeks.
Yeah, you look it. Come on, hooker. Let's get a drink and you can tell me all your woes.
Aren't you here with someone? She asked.
Ricky was going to introduce me to the new bartender, but that can wait. Tell me what you need.
Mary's lip trembled despite her brain screaming at her to hold it together.
I was supposed to meet someone, but he blew me off. I came with my friends, but I don't want to ask them to leave early and have them all feel sorry for me. But I don't want to be here.
Ryan stroked his clean-shaven chin as he studied her, as if weighing a heavy decision. Then he snapped his fingers and pointed at her.
Here's what we're going to do. Tell your friends I'm having a rough night and could use a friend, so we're leaving now. Takes the attention off you and puts it onto me. We'll go to your place. I want to see it, and we can pick up drinks and water on the way because hydration is important. Then we'll drink and online shop for the perfect dress that will make him regret every decision he made that didn't end with him worshiping the ground you walk on. Deal?
We haven't hung out since high school. Why would you want to tank your night for me?
Ryan wrapped his arm around her shoulders and squeezed her to him. Because a long time ago, a very scared kid told his girlfriend he liked boys and not girls, and she said, "Me too." Oh God, did I really say something so stupid? It wasn't stupid. It made me laugh. And then I was crying because it was such a relief to tell someone. And you know what you did? You hugged me and told me that you were excited to get to know the real me. It wasn't always easy growing up here, but my family, you, and a handful of amazing friends made it worth a few narrowed-minded individuals. He tapped her chin with the end of his finger, smiling gently. It's my turn to comfort you. Mary leaned up and kissed his cheek. Thank you. Now, let's blow this whiskey-soaked sex den. We have to swing by my parents and pick up my puppy. He clapped his hands. Ooh, I love puppies. Just keep anything you value off the floor. She's teething. I'll risk it. My truck is parked in the back, so I'll pull around and grab you from the front. All right?
Sounds good.
Thanks. My pleasure. It took a few minutes of convincing, but her friends finally let her leave without one of them coming with her. As much as she loved them, she wanted someone who hadn't witnessed her humiliation and would bring it up every 5 minutes in an attempt to make her feel better about the bullet she dodged. She stepped outside the bar and took a deep breath, the chilly air reminding her of Clark and how he loved breathing in the cold. The fucker. She closed her eyes and leaned her head back against the front of the building, waiting for Ryan. A car door opened somewhere in the parking lot, but she didn't want to say hi or chit-chat. Heavy boots crunched on the gravel parking lot, drawing closer, and she opened her eyes when they stopped. Clark stood several feet in front of her, with his hands in his pockets, his expression unreadable. Mary's jaw clenched as he stood there, not saying anything, just staring at her like he didn't know what to say. Well, she knew what to say. She had a lot to say. Why are you still here?
I was waiting for you.
Why?
She snapped. To apologize. I shouldn't have walked out like that. I was just surprised. I didn't know how to handle the situation and needed a beat to collect myself.
You could have come back in after you collected yourself. Sarcasm oozed from her tone like paint spilling over cement. I was right inside where you left me.
What I have to say doesn't require an audience.
Why does he sound like I'm the bad guy in this scenario? If you aren't interested in me, you could have at least said hi and told me that. It would have been less traumatic than you bailing on our date because you were disappointed.
That wasn't how I felt, he argued,
finally pulling his hands out of his pockets and throwing them into the air. Seeing you waiting for me threw me completely off kilter.
I had no idea you were Naughty Girl 25, not a single fucking clue. I thought you were going to be... Well, I had no idea, but not Mary Winters, the darling of Mistletoe, holding court as you waited for some poor sap to walk through the door and fall at your feet.
If that's your apology, it needs some serious work.
Maybe so. I know I didn't deal with tonight well,
or at all, really.
But at least I took it seriously. I came alone, because I thought this was a real date.
The mockery in his voice made her fingers tingle, and she gripped her coat in her fists so she wouldn't hit him. And I thought you were a nice guy who would be fun to be around. Turns out I was wrong. Sucks to be me, huh?
Imagine what it was like for me to walk in there and see you and all your friends laughing at me. Loser Clark Griffin actually believed he could meet someone he could connect with, who actually cared, who wouldn't...
He didn't finish the sentence. Are you listening to yourself? This isn't high school, and I am a single woman. Mary pushed off the wall, her body radiating with rage.
Did you think I was going to meet a stranger at a bar alone? Even in Mistletoe, I would never do that. If you'd suggested we meet for coffee, I would have had a friend with a newspaper and sunglasses watching every move you made from two tables away.
One friend, sure, but you had a table full of women.
I asked them to come in case the date didn't work out. I could still have fun with my friends, but you even ruined that. Mary kicked at a pebble and cried, "Why in the fuck am I explaining myself to you? I have never been so humiliated in my life, and I've walked in on a guy I was dating having Zoom sex with his high school sweetheart."
Mary.
The way he said her name, as though he was trying not to lose control, grated on her. She wanted him to lose it. Mr. Unreadable, Mr. Cool and Collected, never letting his emotions show.
Did you know it was me?
Not for sure.
Not until you walked through the door. I saw your face and I thought you'd played me.
How could you think I would do that? She asked, breathless with emotion. Or didn't you mean all of those times you called me kind?
I did, but I've been wrong about people before.
If you believed that I could be that cruel, then you don't know me at all. Actually, you never knew me because even in high school I wasn't a mean girl. I wouldn't hurt you like that. Damn it, she did not want to cry again, but she could hear her voice breaking with every word. The funny thing is, I thought you, Clark, might like me, that we were becoming friends, and I actually hoped that the woodsman was you. I wanted you to be the guy because I had feelings for you. I wanted you,
Mary.
He took a step toward her, the blank expression crumbling, and underneath she saw the uncertainty, the vulnerability in his eyes. But she moved away. No, I don't want to hear about your parents' indifference. I don't want you to use your intimacy issues as an excuse right now. You intentionally hurt me before I could hurt you. You were irrational and cruel. The man I exchanged dozens of emails with wouldn't do that, and neither would my friend Clark. You?
I don't know who you are. Mary, please, I'm so sorry.
She avoided his hand reaching out for hers. You're going to have to do a lot better than I'm sorry if you want my forgiveness. Ryan's truck pulled around the corner, and she wiped at her cheeks. That's my ride. Don't worry about tonight, Clark. We'll just go back to the way things were and stick to three subjects. The weather, the farm, and your son. Mary hurried around the hood of the truck and climbed inside. Are you all right, sweetie?
No.
Want me to back up and run him over?
Just go, please.
Ryan did as she asked, but when Mary turned back, Clark still stood in the same spot she'd left him.
Chapter 15. Clark stood on his front porch, his head pounding from lack of sleep. He took several sips of his coffee, his gaze straying to Mary's house. He'd left his window open so he could hear her come home, hoping to catch her before she went into the house and try again to apologize. He knew he'd fucked up the minute he walked out of the bar, but he'd been so shocked when he'd spotted that maroon dress, the only one in the place, being worn by Mary. All of her friends staring at him expectantly, watching for his reaction. He'd panicked. He wasn't proud of it, but it had been too much. Letting people in wasn't natural to him. Online with Naughty Girl 25, it was easier. The easiest experience with a stranger he'd ever had. Except for Mary. Mary, who'd lured him out with laughter. He'd relaxed around her, as much as he'd ever done with anyone besides Sam and Jace. He'd wanted her in a way he'd never wanted any woman. It wasn't the rush of lust he'd experienced with Patrice or the need to feel close to someone else for a few hours. His desire to be around Mary had everything to do with her. And taking that step with Mary could have not only jeopardized his job, but their budding friendship. Which is why when the woman he'd been waiting to meet turned out to be the one he'd been fighting not to want, he'd reacted irrationally. Deep down, he knew Mary wasn't cruel, wasn't the type to toy with a man for her amusement. He'd sat in that parking lot for almost 40 minutes kicking himself, the last 2 weeks playing back in his head like scenes out of a bad romantic comedy, and Clark didn't think it was funny. Especially when he'd watched Mary come out, and he needed to say the right things. But instead, everything that came out of his mouth made what he'd done worse. When he heard the truck that picked her up pull in last night, he'd gotten out of bed and into his boots. He'd planned to walk over after they left and try again. No excuses. He'd barely made it past the porch when he realized the truck was still there. He ducked behind his Jeep when he heard Mary talking to someone. The second voice. Faint, but distinctively male. Clark knew the involuntary flash of jealousy wasn't fair, but that didn't keep him from lying awake half the night, listening for the guy to leave. Now he could clearly see the other vehicle next to Mary's, a black lifted truck with round headlights. He scowled at the truck over his coffee cup rim, taking another gulp of the bitter brew. Her taste in men hadn't changed at all. But then she'd said as much over email. God, that last email she sent. He had no right to be jealous of anything she did. He'd been the asshole, an idiot. In a matter of moments, he'd let all of his issues and insecurities bubble to the surface and destroy his own potential happiness. He'd tried to write all of his feelings down in email form, but had no way to send it. He'd copied and pasted the words into a document and printed them out, tempted to drop them in her mailbox. But there was no guarantee she'd read it, and he couldn't blame her. Naughty girl 25 and Mary. One in the same. How had he never considered the possibility? They'd both made him feel more than any woman had before. The door opened to his left, and Sam blew out a brr. What are you doing out here? Nothing. Enjoying the quiet. Sam followed his gaze and smirked, holding up the coffee pitcher. Need more caffeine for your stakeout? Clark turned his scowl on his brother, who chuckled, pouring the coffee into his own cup. Fine, not a stakeout. We're just listening to the birds. The breeze through the trees. Will you shut the fuck up? I believe that's a dollar to the swear jar, my dude. Clark didn't respond, rubbing a hand over his face, the prickles of his unshaven face scratching his palm. I messed up, Sam. I figured, since you're out here alone, and there is a big boy toy parked at Mary's, things didn't go well with your mystery woman. It was Mary. What was Mary? Your date? Sam cocked an eyebrow at his nod. Then why the hell are you here and not there? I walked out. I saw her, turned, and went back to my Jeep. Clark pulled the letter he wrote out of his pocket and handed it to his brother. It's all in there. Sam kept silent as he read, his gaze racing over every line, giving nothing away. Clark tapped his foot impatiently as he waited for him to grunt or scoff. Something. Instead, he folded the letter and handed it back to Clark. Nothing to say. I do, but I'm processing. Clark groaned. You've never been shy about saying what's on your mind in every situation. Why stop now? Will it help? Probably not, but I still want to hear it. Okay. Sam set his mug down on the porch railing and with blinding speed knocked Clark upside the head. Are you out of your fucking mind? Who walks away from a woman like that? If you weren't my brother, I'd kick your ass on principle. You're telling me you haven't done worse? Clark rasped, rubbing the side of his head. Have I been a complete twat waffle? Yes. But even a reprobate like me wouldn't stand up Mary Winters in a crowded bar for any reason. And we were raised by the same emotionally defective robots. And you compensated by charming the pants off every woman you met, whereas I can't seem to connect with anyone except you and my son. It's all those books you read instead of getting the hell out of that house and meeting people. You got so used to your own company, you can't relate to anyone else. She's never going to forgive me. I walked away from her as an entire table of her friends watched. Sam whistled long and low. Yeah, I don't know how you come back from that. He slapped Clark on the back. Look on the bright side. At least your hand won't feel neglected. You're a dick. Mary's front door opened, and Daisy came trotting down the porch stairs first, disappearing behind the height of the fence. Clark couldn't make out the guy's features, but he looked rumpled as he turned at the bottom step in time for Mary to come out. She was bundled up in a purple robe, her blonde hair hanging around her shoulders in waves. It was the second time Clark had seen it down, including last night, and he remembered thinking how thick and beautiful it looked. Clark imagined the guy with his hands in her soft locks last night, kissing her neck, and hot coffee spilled onto his hand, and he released his tin mug. Fuck. Drop now, Sam hissed, seconds before grabbing Clark and dragging him to the wood planks of the porch. Pain radiated through his leg when his knees hit the wood, but he grit his teeth against it. Did she see me? I don't think so. Sam army crawled over to the porch slats, pressing his eye to the gap. They aren't looking this way. We're good. Clark moved across the wood planks until he sat next to his brother. Why did you pour coffee on me? I was just topping you off. I didn't know you were going to move. Shh. Clark peered at Mary and the man through the 2-inch spaces, and although he couldn't be sure, he thought she was smiling at him. Bastard. Green looks good on you, man. Clark couldn't breathe, let alone respond as he watched Mary come down one more step and kiss the man on the lips. His stomach twisted into knots, every urge to say something charging through his blood like boiling bullets. She was already pulled back when Sam hopped to his feet. Okay, I'm squashing this shit. Clark slunk down. What the fuck are you? Good morning, Mary! Sam yelled, waving. Beautiful, isn't it? Clark didn't want to move, in case she noticed the motion. Her laughter trailed across the yard, friendly and warm, the way it always was. Good morning to you too, Sam. Come on, Daisy May. Sam kept waving like he was in the Miss America pageant. Is she gone yet? Clark whispered. Yes, but he's not. What's he doing? Flipping me off. Clark peeked over the railing. The guy was climbing into his truck, and a few seconds later, the obnoxious roar of a tailpipe shattered the tranquility of the woods as he backed out of the driveway, out of sight. And that is why I panic walked away last night. Clark growled, gathering his fallen mug from the ground and pouring himself another cup. Come again? Mary always dates the jocks. Cocky dickheads that used to toss my books in the trash or trip me as I walk down the halls. That is what she falls for. Not me. Seems to me you're not exactly the skinny book nerd you were 10 years ago. Not on the outside. But inside I'm still the same fucked up, insecure asshole who shafted the world before they could do it to him. I notice your language gets downright filthy when you're irritated. I like it. I try to watch my mouth around Jace, but I'm tired and pissed at myself. Clark took a deep, calming breath. I'm going to apologize to Mary for walking out on her. But I'm not giving her the letter. Why? Because she brought a guy home after you shattered her self-esteem? Maybe even her heart? No. Because she said she wanted me, and then the minute I disappointed her, Mary fell back on old habits. Assholes in the lifted trucks? Sam covered his chest, his eyes widening mockingly. As opposed to the asshole in the Jeep who can't even admit he's crazy about her? His expression went flat, matching his wry tone. Yeah, I can see how that would be a dilemma for Mary. Is that supposed to make me feel better? Clark snapped. No, it's supposed to wake your ass up. You might be all mature when it comes to money and finances, but you're an adolescent with women. Mary doesn't owe you anything, and she can sleep with anyone she wants. It doesn't diminish her, or that big, beautiful heart she carries around on her sleeve. If you can't see that, then you don't deserve her. His brother picked up the pot of coffee and went back inside, the door shutting with a thwack behind him. Clark leaned on the porch railing with his coffee cup cradled in his hands, the letter in his pocket whispering to him. Flashes of Mary rolled through his mind like a film reel, chasing Butch around the yard, walking among the trees with her, gazing up at him, her lips parted, whispering his name.
We'll just go back to the way things were and stick to three subjects: the weather, the farm, and your son.
The idea of regressing to avoiding each other left him morose. Clark wanted Mary to look at him with those golden green eyes again, not with hurt or anger, but radiant sparkle he'd only experienced when she smiled. He wanted more of her impromptu hugs, the ones that came without warning and chipped away every force field he'd built around his emotions. He wanted to know what it was like to be the best part of her day, not another guy who'd made her cry. Clark wanted to be the man Mary thought he was before last night, and the only way to do that was to make a move. Clark left his coffee cup on the railing and strode down the steps, eating up the distance between their homes with urgency. He burst through her gate, trying to slow his breathing as he knocked on her door. Mary's voice came out of the ring box to his left. The circle camera lit up red.
What is wrong with you? Banging on someone's door like that?
I knocked. I didn't bang.
You shook my door,
she snapped. I'm sorry. I need to talk to you, Mary, and I don't want to do it through a door.
Listening to you isn't on my agenda for today, so kindly remove yourself from my front stoop.
Clark frowned, his gaze boring into the camera lens. You said I was going to have to do a lot better than I'm sorry if I was going to make it up to you. He pulled the letter out of his pocket, holding it up so she could see it. I couldn't remember everything I wanted to say, so I wrote it down. Several moments passed, and he backed down one step, about to slide the letter in his back pocket.
Read it to me, she said.
He winced. Don't you want to do that yourself?
No. I want you to read it. I want to hear your voice, so I know it's coming from you and not just something you wrote down so you could pretend to be someone else.
I never pretended with you, Mary.
Then prove it.
Clark cleared his throat, unfolding the letter and stretching it between his hands. He did what she wanted. Mary, I know how badly I hurt you, and that you don't want any excuses, so I'll start this letter with the facts. The fact is, I told you I've only been in one relationship, but it's more than that. I've never been in love. I don't even know if I'm capable of romantic love, and I know how important it is to you. I love my brother and Jace. I would die for them, but being in love is different, I'm sure. Fact, there have been so many times over the last few weeks that I looked at you, at Mary, and I almost said to hell with fears and what ifs. When you were in my arms, trying to ask me a question, the urge to kiss you was torturous. I have dreamed of you, not because I think you're beautiful or desirable, even though you are, but because of the way I feel when I'm with you. The door swung open, and both Mary and her puppy charged down the steps. But only one of them was focused on him. Her eyes seemed brighter than normal, although the whites surrounding them were bloodshot. She shut the door behind her and stood on the top step, her arms crossed over her chest.
Go on.
With her eyes trained on him, sweat trickled down his temple and along his neck despite the chill in the air as he continued. When I'm with you, Mary, the world slows down. I smile easier. I laugh louder. I play, Mary, something I've only ever done in the safety of my home with Jace. You bring the best out of me. Being around you makes me feel alive and it scares the hell out of me. That's why I break eye contact, why I pull away. I've never felt like I deserved you, Mary. You were too much, and I didn't think that you could ever keep your shine with someone like me.
You didn't think you deserved me?
Mary came down one step, her face flushed.
When? In high school when you thought I was shallow? Or last night when you thought I'd set you up for a laugh?
The hurt in her voice twisted his gut in knots. I knew deep down I'd made a mistake. It's why I couldn't go home. But you were right. I was a coward. The thought of going back into that bar with your friends and admitting I'd been a colossal asshole spun me so hard. I couldn't sift through all the chaos in my head.
Is there a word bigger than colossal? Mega? Gigantic? Massive?
All of the above. The lines of her face had eased slightly, and she nodded toward the letter in his hand.
Is there more?
Yes. There's another paragraph.
I'd like to hear the rest.
All right. He took a deep breath. I really want you to forgive me, Mary. But more than that, I want another chance to be your friend. To be the guy you thought could be more. I want to earn back your respect and trust. To show you I'm not damaged beyond repair. If you want me to stand up in front of all your friends and tell them what an idiot I am, I will.
Oh, they know,
Mary said. Clark's mouth twitched, but he kept going. If you want me to go on the radio and tell the world that I made a huge mistake, I won't hesitate.
I think you're more likely to go viral on TikTok. The radio is so dated.
He laughed, meeting her eyes. Her arms were no longer crossed, but stuffed into the pockets of her robe. I will do anything you ask of me, Mary. I'll even give up the last piece of apple pie. Her eyes narrowed.
Your favorite flavor is pumpkin.
You remember that? She sighed.
Unfortunately, I remember everything about our conversations, both online and off.
Unfortunately?
Yeah, unfortunately. It's really annoying to have all these funny, wonderful messages and conversations in my head, and then that one ugly moment tarnishing them.
I really am sorry. I wish I could take it back.
Which parts?
She asked. All of last night.
What about the rest?
Her voice barely above a whisper.
You said you were trying not to like me.
Because if things go bad between us, it doesn't affect just one aspect of my life. If I get involved with a woman, it's not only me I have to think about. It's Jace. Mary's eyebrows snapped down.
I adore your son, and he likes me.
I know he does, and that's the scary part.
This place, your parents.
I've never seen Jace so happy. He loves it on this farm. You're connected to my work, where I live. If you were someone across town who I could avoid if things didn't work out, it would be one thing. But if I start something with you, I could lose everything. I don't want to be responsible for taking away my son's joy. Her expression softened.
I would never let that happen. No matter what. I know how much you love him. It's one of the first things I noticed when you came back. What an amazing dad you are. No matter how I felt about you, I would never let that influence your position here.
I know that. Now.
Well, you should have known it last week, too.
Clark fought a smile at her sass and continued sincerely. I know, I should have. It's difficult for me to trust people, but that's my insecurity, not yours.
Damn right it is,
she said, bending over to pick up her disobedient puppy.
Last night, I thought you were a dense, inconsiderate, judgmental douche canoe.
Clark put a hand out against the house, stopping her from walking away. She turned, with exasperation tightening the space between her eyes. Daisy cuddled in her arms, mirroring her expression. What do you think now, Mary? Is there anything you see worth forgiving? Mary leaned against the house, her gaze indiscernible.
Today I see a contrite douche canoe.
I am. I may be the biggest douche canoe you have ever met. But I don't want to be one. He noticed the twitch of her full lips, even though she wasn't meeting his gaze, and he pressed on. I'm an idiot, Mary, especially where you're concerned.
With the exception of your mom, you are the kindest person I've ever met. You surprise me. You make me laugh. Being around you lifts a weight inside me I didn't know was there. I loathe myself for hurting you. I would have told you all this again last night, but you had company. She met his gaze then, narrowing her eyes. What was that?
What?
That tone.
What? He asked innocently. I just said you had company.
Yeah, but you said it like, ew, company. Like you were sneering at it.
He scoffed. I did not.
I just didn't want to disturb you when you had a guy over.
Aha! Mary cheered, pointing a finger into his chest while keeping an arm around her squirming dog.
How did you know it was a guy?
Clark cocked his head. The big truck?
Women drive big trucks too.
Sam mentioned it.
Liar.
She laughed, bending over and letting Daisy wiggle back down to the ground.
I thought I saw you on the porch this morning, but I was sure I was imagining things. Because why would someone who was so obviously not interested in me be on the porch, spying?
I wasn't spying. I happened to be on the porch enjoying my coffee when you walked outside.
And you hid?
I mean, I didn't want you to think what you already do, so I may have moved out of sight.
Uh-huh.
Her body language had relaxed, and he bent his elbow to lean closer, drawn to her walls lowering. You don't believe me?
Not even a little bit.
His gaze dropped to her smirking, full lips. What do you think?
I think you're jealous.
Of Monster Truck? Clark scoffed.
It's a lifted Chevy.
I'm definitely not jealous of that.
My mistake, she said airily, ducking under his arm.
She opened the front door, and he cleared his throat. Is there a reason I should be? Mary reached inside and came back with some dog treats, rattling the bag. Daisy's head lifted at the sound, and she rushed to her mistress, following the bag inside.
If you're telling the truth about wanting forgiveness so we can be friends again, then no. There's not a single solitary reason.
And if I want more? Mary didn't answer him. Simply held her hand out.
May I keep the letter?
Clark held it between his hands. Are you going to post it on the internet?
No, Clark, I'm not. But if you don't trust me...
He placed the letter in her hand. I do. Does this mean you might forgive me?
I'm considering it.
She shut the door without saying anything more, and Clark stood there, realizing he hadn't gotten the answer he wanted. But she hadn't completely shut him down.
Have a nice day, Clark,
she said through the ring. Clark was done fighting his feelings. He wanted Mary all to himself. The biggest challenge would be convincing her he meant it. You too, Mary.
Chapter 16. Mary walked up the hill to her parents Sunday, Daisy pulling ahead of her, tightening the leash in her hand. The entire Winters family and the farm employees were meeting this morning to take pictures for the 75th anniversary Christmas cards. Her mother decided, since the photographer would already be at the farm, they might as well do family pictures. Something Mary was thankful was happening today instead of yesterday, when her face looked like she'd gone several rounds with a boxer. Of course, she'd still ended up on camera anyway. She'd agreed to the News 10 interview, and after her story ran about rescuing Daisy Thursday night, her plug about the farm's anniversary had brought people from all over yesterday. They'd ended up with nearly 100 prepaid trees to be delivered the day after Thanksgiving, which was still 11 days away. With the exception of the pre-cut delivery and the Festival of Trees, it was the largest order they'd seen in years. 4 more papers and news stations had shown up throughout the day, catching her on the worst day, but she'd smiled and told the truth. That everything happened so fast, and she'd only done what her parents raised her to do, the right thing. They'd seemed excited about it. Halfway up the hill, her tummy rumbled unhappily. She should have made an omelet like she'd planned.
But when she'd found a box on her doorstep with a whole pumpkin pie inside, eggs and vegetables didn't sound as good as a slice with whipped cream on top. The note on top read, "Forget the last piece. You can have the whole pie. Forgive me yet?" Not completely, but he'd scored a few points with that one. When she rounded the front of the house, Jace burst out of the door, wearing a Christmas plaid flannel and blue jeans. His hair spiked up, like someone had run a bucket of gel through the short, golden strands.
"Hey, Mary! Daisy!"
At his high-pitched greeting, the puppy yanked with all her strength until she could reach his face with her tongue. "You look nice, Jace. New clothes?"
"Victoria bought them for me for family pictures. We're all supposed to match. She has something for you, too."
"Of course she does.
Can I take Daisy inside to see Butch?"
"Sure." She handed off the leash to him, and he jetted back up the porch steps. When she walked into the living room, Nick and Clark were changing their shirts, but her gaze locked on Clark's open flannel, framing a set of washboard abs too pretty to cover up.
"Hey, sis,"
Nick said, jerking her attention away from Clark's six-pack.
"Hi,"
she cleared her throat, afraid to look at Clark again. "Where is Mom?"
"She's in the back getting changed."
"Great, thanks." Mary stole a glance at Clark, wondering what he was thinking. They'd left things up in the air when she'd shut the door on him, but she needed time to think about where they went from here. If he wanted her, he was going to have to stop all this back and forth. If he wasn't all in, then she was out.
"Good morning, Mary,"
he said with that warm rumble she loved.
"Hey, Clark." She hoped her voice was cheery and not a nervous pitch. "Nice to see you."
"You too."
Clark's fingers worked over each button, keeping his gaze on her, and she noticed he'd messed up a few.
"Your shirt's not lined up," she said. He looked down with a laugh.
"You're right. Guess I got distracted."
He was teasing, his voice laced with seduction and temptation and, nope, she wasn't falling for it. He had more groveling to do.
"Excuse me, I better get dressed."
"Bye, Mary,"
he called after her, but she was already halfway down the hall. Mary had spent the last year learning her worth, and as much as she liked Clark, he had messed up big time. He was going to take some major effort if he wanted her, and she would not let him back in with anything less. No sexy tone or sweet nothings were going to work. He needed to be open to her, not shut down whenever something got too intense. She knocked on her mother's door, and it swung open, her mother posing in a red cowl-neck sweater and leggings the same plaid as the men's shirts.
"Oh, good. Your clothes are in the bathroom hanging up."
"Are we all wearing red?"
"No, you and I are wearing red, and Holly and Noelle are wearing green. And with Jason Clark, we have equal boys and girls for family pictures.
They are family, so after we do the big farm photo, we'll do family pictures with us. I booked the photographer for the whole day so the employees can also have family photos taken. It's a thank you for how hard they work."
"That's wonderful, Mom. And I agree about Jace. Not Clark?"
"Clark can be family, but not in the gross incest kind of way.
Clark, too."
"Thank you. Now get changed. They'll be here any minute. Are you going to wear lipstick?"
Mary laughed, talking to her mom through the door.
"Would you like me to wear lipstick? I thought a matte red would look lovely with the sweater, but it's up to you. If you want to wear it, the tube is on the counter."
"Thanks."
Mary changed her clothes and ran the lipstick over her upper and lower lip, smiling to make sure there wasn't any on her teeth. She fluffed her blonde waves before stepping out. Usually, she liked her hair back and out of her face, but with the slouch neck of the sweater and her lips, having her hair down made her feel beautiful. Sexy. Her mother came over and cupped Mary's face in her hands.
"You're so beautiful, Mary.
Inside and out." Mary beamed for half a second before her mother playfully pushed her out of the way,
Now, I need to finish putting my face on, so skedaddle.
She went into the bathroom, holding the door slightly open so Mary could see her wink.
Tell your father I need 10 minutes, so if the photographer shows up, stall her.
Her mother shut the door before Mary could reply. Shouting in the living room traveled down the hallway.
What in the heck? What's going on?
Mary called as she hurried into the living room, just in time to watch Nick run out the door, slamming it behind him. Mary opened the door to find Holly and Noel standing on the porch, snickering.
What are we looking at?
Holly pointed toward the trees, where Nick, Clark, Jace, and their dad were running opposite ways through the maze of trees, like the characters in a Scooby-Doo cartoon.
Your puppy slipped her leash, and the guys are trying to catch her.
When Daisy flashed between the rows with Clark chasing her, bent over with his arms outstretched, she smothered a laugh.
Damn that sneaky brat.
Mary ran back into her parents' house, rummaging through the cupboard until she found a bag of jerky. She brushed past the other women down the stairs and stopped at the edge of the trees, shaking the bag contents with a 3-note whistle. Suddenly, a dirty white daisy came barreling out of the trees toward her, her mouth open and her ears pinned back, as her brother Nick gave chase. He stopped when he noticed Mary and stood straight with his head back, chest heaving.
That dog is quick for a baby.
Yes, she is. Good girl. Mary spoke in an excited voice, shaking the bag with a grin until the pup skidded to a stop.
She is not a good girl,
Clark grumbled, coming up alongside Nick. But she's a cute girl, and you gotta praise her when she minds. Mary put her hand up, and Daisy plopped her butt down in front of her. She pulled out a piece of jerky and gave it to her, snatching her collar in her hand before she got any ideas about bolting again. All three men had emerged from the trees, bent over, and sucking in air like they'd run a half marathon.
You all right? Mary asked.
That pup is going to give me a heart attack, her dad croaked. And you're feeding it my good jerky?
I forgot her treat bag at home. I read up on emergency recalls for peers online, and apparently if you combine their favorite treat with a noise or word, they will come running most of the time. Ours is the bag shake and a special whistle.
Jace ran out of the rose, holding Daisy's leash out to Mary with tears streaming down his cheeks.
I am so sorry. I didn't know she could wiggle her head out when it was too loose.
Hey, I'm not upset with you. Mary slipped Daisy's leash on and pulled Jace into her arms, holding the sobbing little boy.
Jace, do you know how many times she's gotten away from me or my parents since I brought her home?
He shook his head against her and she smiled.
Too many, and I haven't even had her a week. She's wily.
She kneeled down so they were eye level, her hands rubbing his shaking back. But maybe until I've taken her through obedience training, I'll keep her in my grasp when we're outside the yard. Would that be okay? He nodded, wiping his face with his hands. Should we go inside and get you some tissues and clean Daisy up for pictures?
Yeah.
Let's do that, she said, taking his hand. Leading Jace and Daisy back toward the house, she heard footsteps behind them. Clark caught up to them and took Jace's other hand.
I can help so we're not holding things up for everyone else.
Mary smiled at his uncertain expression, as if waiting for her to tell him to get lost. Thank you.
Thank you, Mary.
Those three words, spoken with a tender electricity that zipped through her chest like a lightning bolt, left a tingling heat in its wake. Noel passed by them on the sidewalk, and when her eyes met Mary's, she nodded toward Clark with a thumbs up, silently asking if they were good. All the girls had witnessed the dramatic events of the disaster date, but Mary had begged them all to leave the guys out of it. Mary knew it would be hardest for Noel, who genuinely considered Nick her best friend. But considering her brother hadn't knocked Clark into the dirt, she assumed Noel kept her word. As they neared the porch, Holly's gaze shifted from Mary to Clark, her eyes narrowing. She opened her mouth as if ready to give him a piece of her mind, but then she looked down at Jace and shut it. Even though she'd told Holly about their encounter yesterday, her sister still wasn't ready to forgive and forget. Her mom opened the front door as Mary reached the top porch step, her frazzled smile dissolving as she took in Jace's tears and Daisy's dirt-streaked fur.
Oh no, what happened? Victoria cried.
Daisy decided to go for a little jaunt, Mary said, squeezing Jace's hand reassuringly. She didn't want him blaming himself anymore, and Jace was upset about it. But there's no harm done a little soap and water won't cure. We'll get her cleaned up, wash our faces, and get back out here.
I'll take Jace while you work on the troublemaker.
Victoria gave Daisy her angry mom look, complete with wide eyes and a deep frown. Daisy backed up a few paces and pressed against Mary's leg.
Come here, baby, her mom called, and Jace dropped their hands, running full tilt into Victoria's arms, who picked him up like he weighed nothing at all. We'll get that face washed, but first, how about a cookie?
Mom, shouldn't you ask his dad if he wants him to have a cookie? Mary asked.
I pretty much let Victoria do whatever she wants with him.
He said it with affection. Like all of her mom's children, he'd resigned himself to going along with whatever Victoria wanted. Victoria bounced Jace on her hip.
And we want cookies, because they make everything better, right?
Right, Jace laughed, already happier.
So, Mary, mind your business and get that dog cleaned up. She has an outfit, too.
Mary shook her head as the two of them disappeared inside, and she smirked. You've created a monster.
Me? What did I do?
You brought that adorable child into our lives and made everyone, especially my mother, fall in love with him. I'm just saying, I don't think there is anything you could do that would get rid of her.
I don't want to get rid of any of you.
Yeah, right,
Holly snorted from behind them. But Mary ignored her, her heart keeping up with the rapid tempo when he stepped closer, his hand coming up to rest against the side of her neck, his thumb running along her jawline. Bells jingled in the distance, like some kind of musical soundtrack to this charged moment, growing louder as he leaned over so only she could hear.
Can we?
A loud bay made Mary jump, and she looked down as Butch stopped between them, wearing a plaid dog sweater complete with a red leather collar, dotted with bells. Daisy jumped on Butch, grabbing his long ear in her mouth, and the other dog tolerated her gnawing.
Mary, get your dog washed!
Victoria hollered from inside.
Do you still want help?
He asked. That's okay. We can talk later when we have more privacy, she said, shooting her sister a lethal look.
All right. I'll see you out there.
She covered Clark's hand with hers, releasing a heavy sigh.
One thing.
Yeah?
If I ever try to dress Daisy in ridiculous outfits, please stop me.
I promise, he said.
Chapter 17. Clark could feel Holly hot on his heels the minute he stepped off the porch, and he knew this moment was coming. If he was going to win Mary over again, he was going to have to prove to her sister and friends he wasn't the douche they most likely thought he was. Hey, you! Clark stopped at the edge of the walkway, waiting for Holly to catch up. Hi, Holly. She was shorter than Mary by a few inches, and while their features were similar, Holly's eyes were a deep brown and narrowed. Her mouth pursed mulishly.
You hurt my sister.
I know, and I'm...
Shh. No, I'm not done.
Mary acts tough, but she is as soft and squishy as a stuffed animal. And while she seems to be on her way to forgiving you for your deplorable behavior, I'm going to need more. More than... Had Mary told her about the letter and the pie?
An apology. I need to know that you're going to make things up to my sister. Do you actually care about her? Or are you still sticking to, we can't date because I work for your parents?
It's a valid reason. They could fire me and kick me out if I underperform or break their daughter's heart. Holly crossed her arms over her chest with a huff.
Are you planning on doing either of those?
No.
Do you care about my sister?
Yes, but...
No buts. You either do or you do not.
Why did he feel like he was sitting under a hot light being questioned by a CIA operative? The but is important. She released a skeptical grunt.
Let's hear it then.
I've never been in love with a woman. And Mary believes in all of that romance and happily ever after. What if I can't give her what she needs?
You'll break up and she'll get over it? Unless you're a total dickbag, there is no reason for all of this added stress. Mary is an adult. You don't need to ask our father's permission with 50 goats as compensation to date her. Stop trying to crunch the numbers and plot out everything that can go wrong.
How do you know I do that?
Because my dad does it, and so do I. It's what makes us good at business. The difference is, you don't seem to be able to leave that at the door and instead bring it into your personal life. Just relax and let things happen. If she'll give you another chance, that is. I wouldn't.
Before Clark could process, Victoria came out of the house and waved a shirt at Clark from the front porch.
Oh, Clark! I forgot I bought an extra shirt in case I missized anyone. Is your brother around?
Yeah, I think he's watching TV. The parlor isn't open on Sundays. Is Jace okay?
Yes, he's finishing his cookie.
Victoria came down the steps, spryly eating up the walkway until she stopped next to him.
Mary will bring him out when he's done. But your brother...
She slapped it against his chest.
Go tell him to put this on and get his behind up here.
He's not an employee, though.
These are family shirts. Chris and I have paid for a full day of family photos for all the farm employees. He is your family, and you need some pictures together.
Clark looked at Nick and Chris, who'd been joined by Martin and his wife and several other employees. All of them were wearing red or white, except the Winters men. They wore plaid. The same plaid Victoria bought for Clark, Sam, and Jace. Emotion crawled up his throat, making it difficult to swallow. Thank you. Victoria patted his cheek.
You are so welcome. Now hurry. I want you back here in a few minutes for the big farm picture.
She breezed further down the sidewalk, leaving Clark befuddled. Your mom is something else. Holly smiled proudly.
Yes, she is.
I better get Sam, Clark said.
You didn't finish telling me about your intentions. Are you going to keep pulling away from Mary? Or are you going to do your very best to make her happy?
Clark ran a hand through his hair, searching for the right answer. I tried staying away from Mary, and it didn't work. If she'll give me a chance, I'm going all in.
All right, then.
That's it? Clark prodded.
If Mary still wants you, then I'm satisfied.
Thank you, Holly.
Don't thank me. I won't sway her one way or the other, unless you let me get your brother. Then I might put in a good word for you.
Clark raised an eyebrow. I'm trying to get on your sister's good side. Letting you near my brother isn't conducive to my mission. Holly wrinkled her nose.
I don't need another protective person in my life.
Clark shrugged. Well, you got one. Jace and Mary came out of the house, leading a slightly cleaner Daisy. She slowed down when she saw them, eyeing her sister warily.
Everything all right?
It's great. I have to grab my brother for pictures, so I'll see you in a bit.
Do I have to come?
Jace asked, his attention on a few boys stick fighting with the growing group of employees. No, I've got your uncle. Just don't get into any trouble until I get back.
I'll keep an eye on him,
Mary said.
No, I will keep an eye on him. You two, converse.
Holly held her hand out for Daisy's leash. When Mary handed it over, she nodded to Jace.
Come on, little man. Let's go see what kind of trouble we can get into.
Jace took off with Holly, who struggled to keep up with the boy and puppy straining after him.
Look, whatever my sister said to you, I swear you're fine. We don't even have a wood chipper.
Clark burst into surprised laughter. She didn't mention a wood chipper.
I'd be concerned she didn't outright threaten you.
Maybe she already knows I'm aware of my mistakes and is giving me a chance to make it right.
And are you?
She asked lightly. Making it right? She nodded, and he took a step toward her. I'd like to, if you'll be patient with me. I was hoping we'd start with a date. No secret identities. No surprises. Just us. Her blank expression made his stomach swirl, bubbling with nervous nausea.
I'll think about it and get back to you, she said airily.
No problem. Take your time. As if sensing his disappointment, she reached out and rested a hand on his arm.
It's just that it's the last week of school before Thanksgiving break, and I've got festival planning meetings, and I don't want Daisy to spend too much time with my dad, or he may try to steal her.
I don't think your dad wants that pain-in-the-ass puppy.
Ha! That is what he wants you to think. But he was the same way when my mother brought home Butch, who was supposed to be her dog. When I went to pick up Daisy from them Friday night, my dad was leaning back in his recliner, sleeping, with Butch at his feet and Daisy stretched out from his lap to his chest, her face buried in his neck.
She shook her head with a laugh.
Such a softy.
He's a good man. He cleared his throat. You'll let me know? About the date?
Absolutely.
Clark, get your brother!
Victoria hollered.
Mary chuckled. You better get going before she starts counting to three.
Sounds terrifying. His hand brushed hers as he passed. I'll be right back.
I'll be here.
He passed the garage and headed down the hill to the house, thinking about Holly's analogy that he treated everything, including his personal life, like he needed to prepare for every potential disaster. When Patrice got pregnant, he researched scholarships, financial aid, and grants. Anything to help keep him in school. Then she'd left, and although he hadn't expected it, he'd been able to handle it because he'd assumed they'd both be returning to college after Jace was born and would need daycare. He'd been one step ahead, analyzing the pros and cons, completely prepared for whatever life could throw at him. Except Mary. She'd come out of nowhere, and he'd been overwhelmed by his feelings for her, playing them down, even in his own mind. When she was a faceless woman on the computer, there hadn't been the stakes until she became a flesh and blood person. She wasn't the superficial princess he'd imagined her to be in high school. People wanted to be around Mary because of her witty, open heart, spreading warmth like the sun to the trees. Man, when did he start waxing poetic? He walked through the door, and his brother turned his head against the back of the couch to look at him, a day's growth on his cheeks, chin, and above his upper lip.
I thought you were getting pictures taken.
I am. But so are you. Clark tossed him the plaid. Hurry up and shower, shave, and put this on with a pair of jeans. We'll be up by the trees to the left of the main house, waiting.
When did you buy us matching shirts like we're some Pinterest perfect family?
I didn't. Victoria did. The Winters are giving their employees family pictures for Christmas, and you are my family. So she bought us matching shirts. Sam got up and held the shirt in front of him.
Three guys in one picture wearing the same shirt? We're going to look stupid.
I don't care, Clark growled, ready to choke Sam. I'm wearing the shirt and so are you because we're not hurting her feelings. And although I always get Jace's picture taken this time of year, this will be the first one as a family. So can you just put aside all that too cool for this attitude and look like a dork for your little brother?
Fine. But only because I never like to disappoint a beautiful woman. And Victoria.
Whatever you're about to say, don't. Sam grumbled his way to the back room, and Clark left the house with a sappy grin on his face. For the first time in his life, he really felt like he was part of something. Not just a family, although Chris and Victoria definitely did that for him and Jace, but that he belonged here, on this farm, in Mistletoe. Maybe even with Mary? As he crested the hill, the photographer, Bonnie Ricketts, had all the employees squished together with Victoria and Chris in the center. The rolling hills of Christmas Tree rose in the background.
Clark, Chris called. Come over here by Mary and Jace.
Clark jogged up next to Mary and Chris, Jace leaning back against him. Chris put his arm around Clark and shook him.
I'm glad you're here, son. Thank you for all your hard work.
You're welcome, sir. I'm grateful I saw your ad.
Me too. All right, squeeze together, Bonnie ordered. Clark, put your one hand behind Mary and the other one on your son's shoulder.
Clark did what he was asked, resting his hand against Mary's lower back.
Perfect. Here we go.
Mary leaned into him, whispering,
I checked my schedule. I'm free this Saturday.
He turned her way, and she met his gaze, smiling. That's awesome. Because so am I. When the photographer yelled at everyone to look at the camera, he didn't have to fake a smile.
Chapter 18. Friday afternoon, Mary tossed her pilgrim's hat on the desk and slipped off her boot to scratch the bottom of her foot. She'd gotten her stitches out yesterday, and the damn thing still itched. It was the last day before the week-long Thanksgiving holiday Idahoan schools enjoyed, and she was beyond ready for it. As much as she loved